Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from Adi Leela, chapter 14, verse number 65 and 66. So there's no purport to the verse 65. So I'll just chant that verse with the translation. And then we'll chant 66 together. Verse 65 says, translation, they both enjoyed natural pleasure in seeing one another, and under the pretext of demigod worship, they manifested their feelings. Text 66. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, the Lord told Lakshmi, just worship me, for I am the Supreme Lord. If you worship me, certainly you will get the benediction you desire. Purport, this is the same philosophy declared by Lord Krishna himself, sarva dharman parityajya. Mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. People do not understand this. They are accustomed to flatter or worship many demigods, human beings, or even cats and dogs. But when requested to worship the Supreme Lord, they refuse. This is called illusion. Factually, if one worships the Supreme Lord, there is no need to worship anyone else. For example, in a village of a limited area, one may use different wells for different purposes. But when one goes to a river where there is water constantly flowing in waves, that water can save all his purposes, can serve all his purposes. When there is a river, one can take drinking water, wash his clothes, bathe, and so on. For that water will serve all purposes. Similarly, if one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, all his goals will be served. Kama istaiste ritatnana prapadyante nyadevata. Only men who have lost their intelligence worship the various demigods to fulfill their desires. Om adnante mirandasya nananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha namahom vishnupadaya krishna parishthaya bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is continuation of Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. And somehow I'm sandwiched between two exalted speakers. Yesterday we heard His Holiness Bhakti Prabhu Swami Maharaj. And the topic on Srimad Bhagavatam that we are discussing these days is, what is the topic? The childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna. And here we are discussing the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And tomorrow Gaur Gopal Prabhu will continue. So it is said that in the Nyaya Shastra, that when you want an opinion of a young child, you should have two adults. The first adult goes first and establishes the conclusion and tells you the context of the discussion. And the last adult, who speaks last, makes the corrections and re-establishes the conclusion. And in between, the child can speak something of his own intelligence and knowledge. So that is my situation. I'm sandwiched between Maharaj and Gaur Gopal Prabhu. And I will speak based on my limited understanding. So, seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here before I begin. The purport that Srila Prabhupada gives here is, he quotes the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Give up all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. And the Lord gives this conclusion in his discussion with Arjuna. But Srila Prabhupada is saying the same conclusion is emphasized in this particular discussion with Lakshmi Devi. So who is this Lakshmi Devi? Who is Lakshmi Devi that is referred to here? She is the daughter of Vallabhacharya, or Vallabha Mishra, his name was. And her full name is Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya was the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lakshmi Priya was married to Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu was only 15 years old. So we heard in the previous verses how Mahaprabhu on the, you know, he would go to the Ganges where the young girls would come to pray to the Ganges asking for a beautiful husband, you know, a wealthy husband, a nice husband. And Mahaprabhu would go there as well. And he especially was attracted to Lakshmi Priya. So who is this Lakshmi Priya? Kavi Karnapur, in his Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, identifies the personalities in Gaur Leela and tells us who they were in Krishna Leela. So does anyone know who is Lakshmi Priya? Yes, Prabhu? Rukmini Devi, yes. Correct. Who else? Lakshmi Devi, that is also correct. Who else? Very good. It's perfect. Sita Devi as well. So Kavi Karnapur says that Lakshmi Priya is non-different from Lakshmi Devi, Rukmini Devi, and Sita Devi. And her father, Vallabhacharya or Vallabha Mishra, he is non-different from King Janaka, the father of Sita Devi, and King Bhishmaka, the father of Rukmini Devi. So it is established conclusively that Lakshmi Priya was non-different from Lakshmi, Rukmini and Sita. Now it's very puzzling that Mahaprabhu would say this to Lakshmi Devi. Why is it puzzling? Because this verse says, Prabhu kohe ama puja, ami maheshbara. Perform my puja. I am the Supreme Lord. He doesn't stop there. He says, amare pujilo pabe abhipsita bara. Whatever you desire, abhipsita, that you will attain simply by worshipping me. So the question that is raised in our minds is, does Lakshmi Devi, Rukmini Devi and Sita Devi need to be asked by the Lord to worship him? Because the Lord is asking, please worship me. And in fact, it says, Pabe Abhipsita Phala Vara. Abhipsita, most desired. So what does Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi, Rukmini Devi most desire? Do they desire anything other than serving Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, Lord Narayana? This is a question. Anyone wants to answer? Yes. Yes. Yeah, she would. So Chaitanya Bhagavat also refers to this. There are every day she is passing, but one particular day when she is found alone, Mahaprabhu has this exchange with her when she is alone. Correct. But why is he asking her to worship him? Because Lakshmi Devi naturally would worship Narayana, isn't it? So what is the purpose of asking Lakshmi Devi to worship him? It's natural. So the answer is, to get the answer of that, we have to go to Vrindavan, to Braj Bhumi. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Most of you must have been. So in Braj, there is a place called Belavan. Has anyone heard of Belavan? Been to Belavan? Belavan is on the other side of Rasa Mandala. And in between there is River Yamuna. So Belavan is the place where, of course, when Krishna was a little child, he would go there and play. But Lakshmi Devi performed great austerities in Belavan. She performed austerities in Belavan for what purpose? To enter into the Rasalila pastimes of the Lord. And why did she do that? Because when she was serving Lord Narayan, Narad Muni once appeared there. And he told Lakshmi Devi that the pleasure that you get by serving Narayan, by massaging his lotus feet, because that is what she does constantly, massaging his lotus feet, that pleasure is insignificant compared to the pleasure that is attained by the Brajavadus, by the devotees of Vrindavan, the cowherdess women of Vrindavan. So hearing that, Lakshmi Devi wanted to experience. She wanted to experience that intensity of love. And she went to Braj, but she did not have entrance into the pastimes of the Lord. And she stayed in this place, which is also called a Shrivan, Belavan or Shrivan, where she performed tapasya, and it is said, even to this day, Lakshmi Devi is there in Belavan performing tapasya. Tapasya to enter into the same pastimes of the Lord as the gopis of Vrindavan. So it does seem that Lakshmi Devi does desire something, does need something that she doesn't currently possess, which is the association of the Lord in the form of Krishna. So Lakshmi Priya, being an expansion of the same Lakshmi Devi, or non-different from the same Lakshmi Devi, she also desired to attain the association of the Lord. But bear in mind, Lord Chaitanya is, who is Lord Chaitanya? He is Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So by having association of Lord Chaitanya, Lakshmi Devi desired to have that association that she was missing in Braja. However, it would so happen, and there's a greater description of this pastime in other places, including Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, where we see that Lakshmi Priya gets married eventually after this to Lord Chaitanya. And immediately after marrying, you see, marriage is not a simple affair. So after the marriage, there are three things in marriage which are very, very important. The first important thing in marriage is to ensure that the wife is looked after, is very well looked after. Secondly, the husband should have a house, a shelter. And thirdly, the husband should have a job. Some place the husband should go and be able to earn. So Mahaprabhu also thought, well, I should get a job. I should go and earn some money to maintain my family. So along with his students, he went to East Bengal, which is Bangladesh. And in Bangladesh, Mahaprabhu taught Nyaya and grammar. And by teaching that, he wanted to earn some money. So in 1501, which is 516 years ago, Mahaprabhu got married to Lakshmi Priya. And almost immediately, he left Lakshmi Priya with Sachi Mata. And he told Lakshmi Priya, you simply serve Sachi Mata. And I'll be back. And he left Lakshmi Priya to go to East Bengal. In the separation of Mahaprabhu, Lakshmi Priya was, it is said, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, she was bitten by the poison of separation of Mahaprabhu. And internally, her heart was bitten by the poison of separation of Mahaprabhu because Mahaprabhu was in East Bengal. And externally, she got bitten by a snake. And she left her body. So Lakshmi Priya actually did not have that association of Mahaprabhu. And but that is not so mystical. We find the commentators of Chaitanya Charita Amrita, including Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has said that, even the Amrit Pravaha Bhashya, it is said that Lakshmi Devi does not attain the association of the Lord so easily as Krishna. And similarly, Lakshmi Priya also did not have the intimate association of Mahaprabhu. So we can see the pastimes of Lord Krishna are almost exhibited as it is by Mahaprabhu. But I would like to focus on the three aspects of Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Devi, Rukmini Devi, and Sita Devi. So please listen carefully. Why and what is it that Lakshmi Devi, Rukmini Devi and Sita Devi cannot get that other devotees get? So to understand what Lakshmi Devi cannot get, we go to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16. There's a beautiful verse number 36, which speaks about the experience of the Nagapatni, is actually the prayers of Nagapatni. So when the wives of the snake, the serpent Kaliya, when they saw that Lord Krishna is, beating her husband up, he's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, internally they were extremely pleased. Externally they showed some unease about it. But internally, they were extremely pleased. And in that pleasure, they started praying to the Lord. So there's a beautiful verse. And they say, Kasyanu bhavosya nadeva vidmahe kasya anubhavaha. How is this person, Kaliya, experiencing such wonderful bliss? Kaliya is being battered by the Lord. And they are saying, how is he experiencing this bliss as he is beaten up and his hoods are going up and down? And as soon as it is described, one hood would go down, the other would raise, because Kaliya was still having that ego. So Krishna would trample the other hood, and yet another would raise, and he would jump on the other and trample that. And the wives of Kaliya were astonished. Why were they astonished? They were astonished because they say, what has this poisonous serpent done that we don't understand, that he is tavangri renu sparshas adhikarah, that he has attained the adhikar, that he has attained the qualification. Qualification for what? Tava angri renu sparshah. That he has attained the adhikar, the qualification to attain the dust of your lotus feet. Kali is a serpent. He's envious of the Brajavasis. He's envious of you. But somehow you dance on his hood. And by dancing on his hood, you give the dust of your feet to him. What has he done? How can he attain such mercy? And then they continue. So listen carefully. They say, Yadvanchaya Shrihi. Even Lakshmi Devi desires this. She desires the dust of your lotus feet. Lalana Charattapo. Lakshmi Devi is Lalana. Lalana means your darling. Acharattapo. And she is meditating in Belvan to attain the lust of your lotus feet in the form of Krishna. She is meditating. Vihaya kaman. And she has given up all other desires. In fact, she has given up the association of Narayan to attain the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. Suchiram dhritavrata. She has taken a vow that I will not leave this place until I attain the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And yet, Lalana, your darling Lakshmi Devi does not attain this mercy that our husband Kaliya has attained. Are you with me? Isn't this wonderful? Mahaprabhu quotes this verse in his discussion with Venkat Bhatt in Sri Ranga temple. So Jiva Goswami has given a beautiful commentary. What do you think? Why has Kaliya attained this mercy? Devotees, what do we think? Anyone? Sorry? Touched by Garuda. He was touched by Garuda and he was thrown there in Yamuna. Yes? Definitely. Yes, Maharaj. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you, Maharaj. So, nobody actually answers this question. If you look at the commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam, none of the commentators answer this, except Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami says, first he says, why Lakshmi Devi cannot attain this dust of the lotus feet? Anyone? She cannot attain the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna because aprapti karanam cha gopi vat tad ananyatva bhava eva, ananyatva abhava. Jiva Goswami says that Lakshmi Devi did not have ananya bhava towards Krishna. She wanted to retain her position as Lakshmi and she wanted to have the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. She did not have full surrender. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. And by the way, this is the most quoted verse of the Bhagavad Gita. A maximum number of times Srila Prabhupada quotes is this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. So it's a banter of sorts to Lakshmi Priya. Come on, you want anything? You want me? Worship me. I'm the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So here, Jiva Goswami is answering. And then the next line Jiva Goswami says is beautiful. He says, the Nagapatnis are praying to the Lord and saying, we don't know what wonderful activity this Kaliya must have performed to get dust off your lotus feet. However, the fact is, Jiva Goswami says, Tasam paramatad bhaktanam sanga eva yadyapi shri vrindavanantara vasa eva cha. It's only because the association of those very Nagapatnis that Kaliya became the adhikari. This verse says, Tavangri renu sparsha adhikaraha. He became adhikari, a rightful recipient of the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He became adhikari because of, Jiva Goswami says, because of the Nagapatnis themselves. Paramatad bhaktanam sanga eva. This is the power of association of pure devotees. Who is a pure devotee? So Prabhupada was once asked, and he quoted this verse. A pure devotee means he is willing to give up anything and everything. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. And in fact, you know, to give up things is not so difficult, relatively. But to give up association and to take up right association is very, very difficult. And Rishabhdev is instructing his sons on the art of association. In the fifth canto, we have this very famous verse, fifth canto, fifth chapter, verse number 18. He tells his sons, we all know this verse, Gurur na sasyat, one should not become a guru, Swajano na sasyat, one should not become a family member. Pita na sasyat, one should not become a father. Janani na sasyat, one should not become a mother. Daivam na tatsyat, one should not even become a demigod. Napatishcha sasyat, one should not become a husband. If, there is a big if namo chayet yaha, if one is not able to liberate samupeta mrityum, if one is not able to liberate their dependence when mrityu comes face to face, samupeta mrityum, when death comes face to face, if the guru, the father, the mother, the family member, the husband, the devata have not been able to deliver you from death, then they need to be given up. And we find examples in the scripture. So Guru was given up by Bali Maharaj. He gave up Shukracharya to surrender to Vamandev. Swajano na sasyat, family members. There's one personality who gave up all his family members to surrender to the Lord. Who was that? Very famous personality. Huh? Arjuna. Arjuna, he was still with the Pandavas, right? So not quite all his family members. But yes, he did. He did Bharat Maharaj. So the example that is given in the by the commentators is Vibhishana. Vibhishana absolutely gave up everyone, including his wife, children, his brother, his brothers in fact, his nephews, everyone. And he took shelter of Ramachandra. Pita na sasyat, gave up the father. Who gave up the father? Prahlad Maharaj gave up his father. Janani na sasyat, gave up the mother, Bharat Maharaj. Bharat, as in Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. Bharat gave up his mother Kaikeyi. Said, I don't accept you as my mother. I don't want to listen to your advice. I don't want to be the king. Daivam natatsyat. First canto Srimad Bhagavatam gives one verse about this personality. who gave up even the Lord of Swargaloka, Indra, to surrender to the Lord. Who was that personality who gave up Indra? Indra's association? Yes, Khatwanga Maharaj. Maharaj Khatwanga, the great king who went to fight with the army of Indra. When Indra said, "What boon do you want?" He said, "First tell me, how long do I have?" "Oh, you have only one moment. Forget your boon. I don't care about your boon." He goes down, back, and gives up everything in less than a moment and attains the Supreme Lord. So even give up the Devata. And finally, Napatishchasasyat. And give up the husband. Who gave up the husbands? The gopis gave up their husbands. Who else gave up their husbands? The Brahmapatnis give up their husbands. Who else gave up their husbands? The Nagapatnis are examples who gave up their husbands' association to serve the Supreme Lord. So this is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would say Krishna is the supreme autocrat. An autocrat means he wants you 100%. Not even 99.99%. Full Saranagati is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. And that is where Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Dharma Prajjita Kaitabhatra. So, over there Dharma is said to be given up. And Bhagavatam starts by saying, this Bhagavatam starts where all Dharma has been given up. So one enters Bhagavatam. And this is why the Nagapatnis were pure devotees, and through their association, Kalia attained that which even Lakshmi could not attain. Now, that is Lakshmi Devi. Now we said Lakshmi Priya is, Mataji, you said Lakshmi Priya is Rukmini Devi and Sita Devi. Sita Devi and Lakshmi Devi. So we'll understand what Sita Devi. This is very sweet. Sita Devi, there is a beautiful verse in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam discusses two things. The Surya Vansha and the Chandra Vansha. The lineage from the sun and the lineage from the moon, and the lineage from the sun, we have Lord Ramachandra. And in Ramachandra's pastime, the entire Sridhar Swami in his commentary says, the entire Ramayana has been summarized in two chapters, chapter 10 and 11 of ninth canto. And then Veer Raghavacharya and other commentators, they say how there's one verse number 4, which actually summarizes the entire Ramayana in one verse. So it's a very powerful verse. So this is Shukdev Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Please listen carefully, this verse. Gurvarthe Tyaktarajyo. On the order of his father, Tyaktarajya, the Lord Ramachandra, he gave up his kingdom. What did he do then? Vyacharad Anuvanam. He went on roaming around Anuvanam, from one forest to another. How did he go there? On a horse? On a big carriage? Along with many troops? No, the next word is Padmapadbhyam, on his lotus feet. He went on his lotus feet. He walked. He walked on his lotus feet. Is that very special that he walked on his lotus feet in these different forests? How special is that? Now listen carefully. Please listen carefully. This next line shows the depth of a Sharanagata Bhakta, a devotee who is fully surrendered. The next line says, Priyayaha Pani Sparksha Sparshakshamabhyam. Priyayaha, of his beloved Sita, Pani Sparshaha. Even the touch of the lotus hands of Sita Devi on that lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, Akshama Bhyam. He was not able to bear that touch. He thought Sita Devi touching his feet, he considered to be as hard as thunderbolt. Even the lotus hands of Sita Devi were so hard for the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. With those soft padma, padbhyam, with those soft lotus-like feet, barefoot, he walked these forests. So one might say, how come Lord Ramachandra was feeling Sita Devi's hands hard? Actually, it is described in Ramayana. Very quickly, I will mention in synopsis that after the marriage of Rama and Sita, Maharaj Janak, he sent Sita Devi with lot of, you know, pomp and celebration to the house of Dasharath Maharaj in Ayodhya. And as she was being sent, along with her came all her hundreds and hundreds of maid servants and hundreds of other servants. And they were all sent along with her to the palace of Maharaj Dasharath. Now Kaushalya, the mother of Ramachandra, had already reached the palace ahead of time because she wanted to prepare the palace to receive Sita Devi and take her first footprint as she enters into her new home. So she had spoken to her maidservants to figure out what Sita likes and what Sita Devi may not like. And the maidservant said, what Sita Devi likes is to serve Lord Ramachandra. But what she feels slightly uncomfortable about is, because she is so delicate, she cannot bear any discomfort, physical discomfort. She is very delicate. So Kaushalya Devi said, okay, if she is so delicate, let me put flower petals on the floor. Which flower? Lotus petals. The entire floor of the palace was littered with or decorated with the lotus petals. So when Sita Devi would walk, she would not feel discomfort. And Sita Devi comes, she is invited inside. It's a long pastime. I just give you the synopsis. She enters inside, and when she enters inside, she is a little bit uncomfortable. So, what is softer than the lotus petal? What is softer? You know, the small pollen that is in the middle of the corolla of the flower is softer than the petals of the flower. So Kaushalya, she understood the mind of Sita Devi that she is not feeling comfortable. She quickly asked her servants to, you know, shower pollen all over the floor of the palace. And even walking on the pollen of the flowers, Sita Devi had a sweat on her forehead. And Kaushalya asked, what is the matter? And Sita Devi says, this thing that you have put on the floor, mother, is hurting my feet. Can you imagine how delicate her feet were? If those were her feet, you see, feet is generally harder than hands because the feet are constantly under pressure as we walk. So how delicate would be Sita Devi's hands? And imagine those delicate hands. In this verse in Bhagavatam, it is said, with those delicate hands, priyayaha pani sparsha akshama bhyam. Lord Ramchandra could not bear those hands of Sita Devi massaging his feet. Are you with me? Then the verse even goes further. Sita Devi, who is a consort, who is a wife, Ramchandra cannot bear her massage. You know, sometimes, and I've had this experience once, I was in India, and in India they do this Ayurvedic massage. And I went to an Ayurvedic massage place, and the person was a young man, young boy. He was so enthusiastic that every minute felt like an hour when he was trying to massage, because he was so... At one point he became... To me, I said, you know, it's like a monkey massaging me. What are you doing? I cannot bear it anymore. I was in tears. Because a monkey has no sense of, you know, how to massage. A monkey has no sense of being delicate. So now listen carefully. The next line says, Mrujita Patharujo. And when Ramchandra was tired walking, to massage his feet and to relax his feet. Who was relaxing his feet? Harindra Anuja. Harindra Anuja. Harindra, the king of monkeys. Who was that? Sugriva or Hanuman? Ultimately, they are monkeys. Lord Ramachandra was happy being served by the king of monkeys, rather than being touched by the soft, delicate hands of Sita Devi. Anuja Bhyam. Anuja means the younger brother, Lakshman. So it was only Lakshmana, Sugriva and Hanuman who could massage his lotus feet, and Ramachandra in response would feel extremely pleased. So this is the position of Sita Devi. She is the mother. She is the mother of all living entities. But the Lord shows special mercy and special attraction to his sold out devotees like Lord Hanuman. Bhakta Hanuman. So that is Sita Devi. So we said Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Priya is Lakshmi Devi. We saw through the Nagapatnis how Lakshmi Devi could not get what Kaliya got. We saw through this verse how Sita Devi could not get that position which a monkey king, Hanuman, got because of his being a Sharanagata Bhakta. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, was exemplified by Nagapatnis, was exemplified by Hanumanji. Finally, we have Rukmini Devi. So Rukmini Devi, it is said in the palace in Dwaraka, Rukmini Devi would not leave the side of Krishna even for a moment. Even for a moment. However, in the 10th canto, chapter 80, we have the description of Sudama Vipra. Sudama was a classmate of the Lord, and after much push from his wife, he decided to go and see his childhood friend Krishna, who was now the king of Dwarka. So being pushed very hard, he said, okay, I will go and see my friend. Does everyone know the pastime of Sudama? Yes? Yes? Haribol. Okay. So those who don't know, how many of you don't know the pastime of Sudama? Okay, no raise of hands. Okay. So those who don't know should ask those who know later after the class. But Sudama was a childhood friend of Krishna. He comes to Dwaraka initially with the intention to ask something from the Lord. But he is a sold out servant. And because he is a sold out servant, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So he does not desire anything from the Lord. But the Lord receives him. And the reception of the Lord is very telling of Sudama's caliber. So this beautiful verse, verse 25-26 of the 10th canto, chapter 80, says, the residents of Dwarka, they become shocked by the reaction and the response of the Lord. Because the Lord stands up, he runs to Sudama, he bathes his feet, Sudama's feet, he performs archana, like we do archana of the Lord. And at the end, he sprinkles the water that has washed the dust of Sudama's feet. He sprinkles that water on his own head and the head of all the queens, including Rukmini Devi, who is non-different from Sri Lakshmi. So this verse is very powerful. The residents of Dwarka are puzzled. And they say, Kimanena kritam punyam. What auspicious activity must this person have done? They are talking about Sudama. Avadhutena bhikshuna. He looks so shabby, it seems he has not even taken bath. Avadhuta means one who is above material consciousness. But avadhuta from dhavanam means to take bath. So avadhuta also means one who has not taken bath. So they say he looks so filthy, smelly. And the Lord is embracing him. What has this smelly, filthy person done? And he's a beggar. Bhikshuna, look at his dress, all tattered, holes. What has this beggar done? Shriya hinena. He has no opulence, it seems. Mother Lakshmi has not given any blessings to him, it seems. Shriya hinena. Lokesmin. In this world, he has not received any blessings of Lakshmi. Garhitena adhamena cha. But, and he is adhama. He seems like a low class person. He looks like a low class person. But still the Lord is rushing to him. What has this person done? Yosau triloka guruna. The master of the three worlds, triloka guru. Shri nivasena sambhritaha. Listen carefully. The previous word said, he is Shri Hina. He has no mercy of Shri or Lakshmi Devi. This verse says, even though he has no mercy of Lakshmi Devi, the master of Lakshmi Devi, Shri Nivasena, by him, Sambhritaha, he is being served. Brita means servant. This master of the three worlds, Krishna, has become a servant. And now listen carefully. This is very sweet. He says, not only is the Lord serving, but every time Lord was in Dwarka, in the palace, he would go along with Rukmini and Satyabhama. If sometimes the Lord became, he was walking a little fast or moving quicker, he would immediately turn behind and ask Rukmini to catch up. He always thought of Rukmini and Satyabhama when he was in Dwarka. But today something astonishing happened. As Sudama entered, both Krishna and Rukmini were sat on a nice golden throne made from soft pillow. Soft cotton wool. Cotton and wool. So it is called as Paryanka, which means a soft cushioned seat. So both Rukmini and Krishna were sitting. And today, that Krishna, who not for a moment leaves the association of Rukmini, what did he do? The verse continues. Paryanka stham shriyam hitva. He gave up the association of Rukmini Devi, who was sitting on the couch with him, on the throne with him. So when he saw Sudama, he completely forgot Rukmini. He stood up and he ran to Sudama. That Rukmini was shocked. What is this? Never seen before. Parishvakto grajo yatha. And he served Sudama agrajo yatha. Agraja means like an elder brother. In fact, Srila Sanatan Goswami in his Brihad Vaishnava Toshini, he says, very beautiful, two things he says. He says, yatha agraja iti shri baldeva upama. So by saying agraja in this verse, what is intended is that Lord Krishna respected Sudama just like he would respect his own brother Baladev. He considered him to be at par with Baladev. So just see, this is what Krishna gives. What does Krishna give to his Sharanagata Bhakta? He gives himself. Any pramana for that? Any pramana from the scriptures? There's many pramanas. One beautiful pramana is that Uddhava, Krishna is telling Uddhava in the 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 15. This is so instructive, this verse. He says, Na tatha me priyatama. Nobody is dearest, priyatama, dearest to me, more dear to me than yatha bhavan, than you. You are the dearest to me. But he doesn't just say that. He says this. He says, Atma yonir na shankaraha. Atma yoni, Brahma. Brahma is not dear to me. Na shankaraha. Lord Shiva is not dear to me. Na cha shankarshano na shrihi. Shankarshan is not dear to me. Even Shri is not dear to me. See, direct evidence. Na shrihi. Even Lakshmi Devi is not dear to me. In fact, naiva atma, even I myself am not dear to me. You can't beat that, right? The Lord is saying, I am not dear to myself. Cha yatha bhavan, as much as you, Uddhava, are dear to me. How come Uddhava attained this position of being so dear to him? Because in the 10th canto, chapter 47, we see when Uddhava goes to see the gopis of Vrindavan and ask them to please give up their conception of Krishna and their madness of Krishna's association and instead attain Brahmadnan. When he is giving that instruction, the gopis demonstrate their supreme love, Sharanagata. Maam ekam sharanam raja, that attitude. Sarvadharman parityajya. When they demonstrate their attitude, Uddhava understands. And Uddhava says, in conclusion, he's gone there to preach to the gopis, but he comes back preached himself and turned into a devotee of the gopis of Vrindavan himself. And in verse number 63, he says, Vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhikshanashah. All I need is the dust of the lotus feet. I came here to preach you, but I walk away with this desire that I only deserve the last dust of the lotus feet of all of you. And I desire that may I become a creeper in this land of Braja, so that I may be trampled under the feet of the Brajavasis. This is Uddhava's desire. And because of this desire and his surrender to the gopis of Vrindavan, the highest personification of love, because of that, he becomes so dear to the Lord that the Lord says, actually, you are more dear to me than Brahma, than Shiva, than Shankarshana, even more dear than my own wife, Shri. In fact, even more dear than my own self. This is the banter that we see in this verse. When Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is telling Lakshmi Priya, you are Lakshmi, you are Sita, you are Rukmini, you just need to worship me, nobody else. He's saying this, Prabhu ko hai ama puja, ami maheshbara, amara pujile pabe, abhipsita bara. You will get that desired fruit by serving me. This is the, anyway, there are so many other things we can talk. But you see this progressive spirituality where we hanker for nothing but the Lord and the Lord's association only. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, that Prabhupada has quoted in the purport. You see the last line is, Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. Before that, Aham Tvam Sarva Pahabhyo Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. But it says, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he quotes that this Vraja is actually referring to Vraja Vrindavan. By exemplifying the highest surrender. See, that has to be our ideal. We may be at whatever step we are, but our ideal, our goal should always be very clear. And progressively, we want to make steps towards that goal. That goal towards which, you know, the Lord Himself is asking us to go. And Srila Prabhupada, the most quoted verse, is asking us to go. And this Sharanam Vraja says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that the Lord is saying, just like my Vraja devotees, you surrender unto me unequivocally, without anyone else being your master. You can't serve two masters. I am exclusive. I am the supreme autocrat. Serve me alone. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Kavi Karnapur has written a book, Alankar Kaustubha, in which the second verse of that speaks about dvani. Dvani is one of the parameters of Sanskrit poetics, which talks about indirect meaning. And that indirect meaning, that dvani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is established in this verse of Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, where Vraja actually indirectly refers to the servants of the Lord in Vraja. So we must be very clear about our ideals, our goals, and we must constantly challenge ourselves. This is where I am. These are my anarthas. This is how my sadhana is. This is, but I know where the goal is. I know where I need to be. And we constantly take steps, one step at a time, towards that goal. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, if we don't progress in spiritual life, we are simply dead. Spiritually dead. And he himself on every Ekadashi, today's Ekadashi, every Ekadashi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would update his journal in which he would write, last Ekadashi, I took a vow. I want to stretch myself in devotional service in these areas. And he would reflect, have I fulfilled those? And if I have, what's my new goal? Ekadashi to Ekadashi, he would set up his goals. So, thank you very much for being attentive, and there's a lot more to speak. I feel very pleased that all of you are so eager to listen, and may the Lord give His utmost mercy to all of us, and may we never leave the association of the devotees. We saw in the Nagapatnis their love for the Lord, but their association is what transformed even Kalia, made Kalia Adhikari. We saw how the Lord prefers the massage from a monkey, namely Lord Hanuman. Then from his very wife Sita Devi, we saw how the Lord is willing to even not give a second thought to his queen, primary queen. In fact, Sanatana Goswami says that she is Mahishinam Prathama. She is the first amongst the queens, Rukmini Devi. But he wants to give her up and go to Sudama. So we see what Sharanagata Bhakta can do. So that should be our goal. We should never be complacent in devotional life. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai.